Welcome to this fortnight's Health Matters. I'm Big Girl. And don't forget, the program is on every second Wednesday at 11 o'clock and then repeating after Inside Out on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock. If you can handle listening to 5 hours of me, please do it. Very important program like they always are. And the topic today is cancer. We're going to have quite a few guests coming in on the program. But first up, we have Leanne Pilkington from the Breast Screen WA. And Leanne is the Aboriginal Program Officer. And also Stacey May. Stacey, I'm not quite sure about your name. You can help me out on that in just a minute. And Stacey's the Senior Program Officer from WA Cervical Cancer Prevention Program. That's a long one. Good morning, Leanne, and good morning, Stacey May.
Good morning, big girl. How you going?
Yeah, not bad. Stacey, what's your last name? I better get it right.
It's Procopision.
It's what, sorry?
Procopision.
Okay.
It's a long one.
That's why we just call her Stacey May.
Yeah. now, what particular cancers are we going to be talking about today? Because we do have a varied... informative program on a few cancers. So what are the cancers that we're talking about today? And I guess, why are we talking about them, Leanne?
Well, I'll be talking about breast cancer and Stacey May will be talking about cervical cancer. It's really important. At the moment, Aboriginal women, breast cancer is the biggest cancer in Aboriginal women in WA, and it's the second most common cause of cancer death in Aboriginal women in WA. So, you know, it's really important that we get that message out there to talk about it.
And cervical cancer, I guess, it's one of the most preventable cancers out there. And I guess that's why it's so important for women to make sure that they are being screened. That there's also vaccinations that are available for kids. A lot of people don't know that cervical cancer is caused by the human papillomavirus, which is linked to a variety of different cancers. This virus is really common. 4 out of 5 people will have the virus at some point in their lives, but there's now a vaccine that's available. So it's available for kids to prevent them from getting the virus. So it's I guess the message is very preventable cancer.
When you say kids, you better just make sure the age.
Oh, sorry, it's 12 to 13-year-olds, yeah.
That's very young, isn't it? Mm. 12 to 13.
Well, they try and do it before they get sexually active.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Hmm. Has that got younger over the years? What do you think? Because our kids
active.
These days, yeah, they're getting more sexually active.
Yeah, I think so. But while cervical cancer is preventable, breast cancer isn't. And so it's really important that with all cancers, you know, the sooner you find it, usually the better outcome you have. So it's really important, that early detection message that we're talking about. And I think it's coming up for Daffodil Day, so, you know, it's important to talk about cancers because Daffodil Day highlights cancer awareness.
It definitely is, and I don't think there's very many people that want to talk about it because it's associated with grief and that. But like all diseases that can take loved ones, you know, we do need to talk about it to raise awareness.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I heard you just then say, you know, find it, but how do you find it? What do women need to do? Because don't wait until, you know, there's lumps and stuff like that. Yeah. So what should women be doing? Well, Leanne first with the breast be aware.
Okay, so all women, no matter what your age, need to be breast aware. So it's important that they know what their breasts look and feel like at different times throughout their life. And the biggest thing that we can do is to look after ourselves, because a lot of women put themselves last and, you know, they'll say, oh, I found a bit of a lump or a bit of a symptom, but I'm not going to do anything because I've got a kid I've got to take to school, or, you know, they've got to go to the doctors or something like that. But it's really important that we find breast cancer while it's still in the breast, because if it spreads to other parts of the body, it makes it harder to treat. One of the best ways you can find breast cancer if you're over 40 is to have a free mammogram. Now, BreastScreen WA provides free mammograms to all women over the age of 40 every 2 years. We've got 10 fixed clinics in the metro area. 10 fixed clinics, 9 in the metro area, 1 in Bunbury. See, that's you looking at me like that.
There you go. Yeah, because I'm looking at you like that because I've been one of those clinics after I went to Breast Awareness in the Park.
Oh, yeah, Picnic in the Park.
Yeah, Picnic in the Park, that's it. Of course, you're the big organiser for that one. Thank you so much. That's a great event. But the last one I went to, it was only about 3 weeks, and I booked in at Midland, and I had my boob be squashed. I didn't mind it. Some women, we're all different.
Yeah.
Our girls are all different.
True.
So it wasn't a big deal for me, but my mum goes and has hers and she says that it's quite painful for her. But I didn't feel so much pain, more of a pressure on my boobies. Yeah. I'd rather have that than a pap smear.
But like you say, woman's different.
Yeah.
And we really do only compress the breast for about 15 seconds. So it's not a long time. And when you think about it, that little compression could save your life because it might find a cancer early while it's still treatable and, you know, minimal treatment for it. So, yeah, it's really important that you sort of get past it. And we're all scared of a bit of pain, and there's always people that say, oh, you know, it squishes, it hurts. It's uncomfortable. But, you know, if you've had kids, it's a lot more painful to have a kid than...
And it's only every 2 years.
And it's only every 2 years, yep.
Stacey May, let's talk about cervical cancer and the checks that women need to have done and how often.
Well, at the moment, pap smears are the best way to protect against cervical cancer, so a pap smear every 2 years. And it's similar to breast screening in a way that the prevention is so much better to, it's early detection is the key really. So the pap smear is looking for abnormal cells in the cervix, and when you find them, it can take a long time for cancer to develop, so 10 to 15 years. So if you can find those cells before they have a chance to become cervical cancer, then it's a lot better in the long run. And even though there may be a bit of discomfort, it's a lot better to find it early.
And with the test, sometimes they come back abnormal, which does that mean that you do have cancer or?
No. So many women get quite scared thinking when they get an abnormal reading, thinking, oh no, this is cancer. But it's an abnormal reading simply means that they have some abnormal cells. It's not cancer. But it just means that they need to go and have some further tests, maybe some treatment to prevent it from perhaps becoming cancer at a later stage.
Yeah, please go and do it. I actually had 3 abnormals in a row, and that really, really scared me, and I actually put it off after that for quite a while. But I'm on the big girl books now. But, yeah, that's why I wanted to bring that up, because sometimes we get really, really frightened of the unknown, and we just try and, you know, predict things, and they're not always there. There's some positives as well.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to go to a song. Now, this was requested by Kay Wally, who couldn't join us today. And thank you, Stacey May, for coming in. And Kay's got a sore throat, so, yeah, definitely not her day. Strong messages as well that we want to send out to everyone, actually, about detecting cancer, the risk factors. And we're talking about not just one cancer in particular today on Health Matters, but quite a few. And with me now, Stacey May, talking on cervical cancer and breast cancer with Leanne Pilkington. Now, Stacey May, I want to go back to you on the cervical cancer risk factors, and also I don't think I asked you where do people get checked out?
Well, I guess the risk factors for cervical cancer, firstly, is being a woman and having a cervix. So that's why it's so important, just being a woman, to be screened.
You can get screened at your local AMS from your GP or local nurse or midwife. So, yeah, really, whoever you feel comfortable with. But also, a big risk factor for cervical cancer is contracting the human papillomavirus, which I was mentioning earlier, HPV. It's a really common virus. 4 out of 5 people will have it at some point in their lives. That's men and women that can get this virus. But it's also important to know that you can protect against this virus with vaccination. So there's a vaccination available for young people in school, so age 12 to 13 through a school program. So I guess another important thing is for parents with children around that age to make sure that their kids have all 3 vaccinations, which is given at their school.
Mm. Really important, hey, immunisation. Mm. Yep. Now, I believe, you know, there's some common myths around, like there always is with,
yeah.
with health, and, you know, but in particular about breast cancer, Leanne, you know, can we do a bit of a myth busting session today on health matters?
We can. First of all, I'll just say we don't know what causes breast cancer. We still don't know what causes.
Oh,
the two biggest risks, there's lots of research going into it.
Yeah.
But the two biggest risks, being a woman getting older. The other thing is family history. And when we're talking family, you know, us New Orleans, we've got big families. But the main people that we need to think about when we're talking family history, mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter.
Mm.
So if any of those family members have been diagnosed with breast cancer, then you have a family history. If any two of those family members have been diagnosed with breast cancer at any age, then you're eligible to have screening every year rather than every 2 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think, oh, I've got no family history. Nobody in my family's got it. But you know what? 95% of people that get breast cancer don't have a family history. So while having a family history increases your risk, not having a family history doesn't mean you're not going to get it. Mm. Every woman still has that risk of, because they're a woman and they're getting older.
Mm.
Young women don't necessarily get breast cancer that often. In fact, it's only about 90% of women. About 70% of breast cancers are found in women over the age of 50.
Mm.
So it's really important that, you know, as you get older, you look after yourself.
True or false, Leanne?
Mm. All the myths, okay.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, and this first one is big for me because currently I've got a couple of lumps under my arm. I'm wondering, you know, using antidepressant deodorants, you know, does that cause breast cancer?
No,
underarm spray,
no? No, there's no evidence at all to show that deodorant causes breast cancer.
Okay.
And I know that's, you know, a lot of these myths, they make their rounds.
Yeah, because everyone, I always use that word, everyone, assuming, but, you know, a lot of products come out these days updating that there are less chemicals in their brands, you know, and people thinking, you know, of getting those chemicals into their body and stuff like that. So obviously they start thinking, oh, good. Okay, so that is false. And by the way, the lumps are just a little bit of a virus. So a bit of antibiotics, and that happens with a lot of hair follicles. So,
that's
another thing women should be aware of. You know, if you have some little lumps, it might not be. You might have something like me, and it's just a, you know, infected hair follicle. Wearing a tight bra causes breast cancer. Leanne, does it?
No. And you know what? When we're little, when we're girls growing up, we can't wait to put the bra on. We can't wait to have their titties so that we can wear the bras.
Yeah.
But as you get older, that's the first thing you want to take off. But as soon as you get home, take your bra off, but it doesn't cause breast cancer. A tight bra and underwire bra, there's no evidence at all to show that that causes breast cancer. They're just bloody uncomfortable.
Yeah. But, I've been told those things like that there, or have loose undies. Yeah, air it out and, you know, it'll always be healthy. But, yeah, all myths. A bump or knock to the breast.
There's no evidence to show that that will cause breast cancer. Yep. It might draw your attention to an existing lump, but there's no evidence to show that that will actually cause breast cancer.
Mm. Only your mother's family history of breast cancer can affect your risk of breast cancer.
No, that's also a myth. No, because we've shown that men get breast cancer.
Yeah.
And if there's breast cancer on your father's side, then that increases the risk for your father. But it's not just your mother's side that you have to consider. It can be your father's side as well.
Mm. Having a mammogram will prevent breast cancer.
It won't prevent breast cancer, but it can find it early. Mm. A mammogram, having regular mammograms can find a breast cancer about the size of a grain of rice, which is long before you would find it if you're feeling for yourself. So it's really important.
In saying that, will regular self examinations are the best way to detect?
They're not the best way, but it's good to get into the habit of breast awareness. Know what your breasts look and feel like at different times through your life. And, you know, my daughter's been checking her breasts since she was about 16 years old when I started working at Breast Screen. I've been at Breast Screen for 11 years. And one of the key messages that I tell women, once you turn 40, you can have a free mammogram. But whatever age you are, you should be breast aware. Know what your breasts look and feel like, and that what you could be feeling, any sort of lumps, any sort of discharge from the nipple when you're not breastfeeding, any sort of dimples, any sort of rash, any pain, any redness, anything that's different for you. And it's not just the boob, that the bit that hangs out, that's important to feel. You need to feel from your collarbone down, up underneath the breast, around the nipple, and don't forget underneath the arm, because all of those places can have breast tissue.
Stacey May, Mythbuster, do you have to have children to have cervical cancer?
No, you don't. No, it's any, if you're aged between 18 to 69 years and you're a woman, then you should be getting screened, that you're at risk of having cervical cancer. So, yeah, children doesn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, okay. What about the amount of sexual activity? So if I was, woohoo, you know, I was very sexually active, does that put me at a higher risk of cervical cancer?
Oh, look, I mean, human papillomavirus, there is, can be transmitted sexually. The amount of sexual activity you have, cervical cancer can happen at any age, whether you're young and having, or even if you've had one partner, or whether you've had multiple partners. So the amount, yeah, it's important to still get screened.
What if you have a hysterectomy? Do you still need to get pap smears?
Women who've had a hysterectomy, they should really have a chat to their healthcare provider or the health professional to find out whether they need to still have pap smears, because it really depends on the type of hysterectomy they've had and also the reason for having it. So the best thing is just to have a chat to your doctor, healthcare provider.
Mm. Well, Leanne, Stacey May, thanks for joining us in here. Very informative. Before you go, I do a bit of a wrap up. What are the key messages that you would like to leave our audience today, Leanne?
Yep. Be breast aware, no matter your age. If you're over 40, have a free screening mammogram at Breast Screen WA. We visit Derbal Yerrigan every 2 years. We're due there in March next year. So, you know, if you go to Derbal and you're due for your mammogram, if you see a symptom, don't wait to come to the van. Go to your doctor. So that's all part of the breast awareness. And I guess the main message, if you've got any questions, because, you know, this is only a short interview, if you've got any questions, you can always go on to our website. That's breastscreen.health.wa.gov.au. So, you know, just Google Breast Screen WA and it'll come up.
And just a reminder, the screenings are free of charge. That's
right. The screenings are free, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And Stacey May, what's your important messages for our young women and our mature women today? Oh, and the men as well. I guess they've got a support as well. Yep.
That's it. I guess the main things to know are that cervical cancer is a very preventable cancer. The main message as well is to be screened every 2 years, have a pap smear every 2 years if you're aged 18 to 69. And if you do, you shouldn't be afraid of having an abnormal result, because that doesn't mean cancer. I think that's a really important thing to take away, is that detecting any cell changes early means that you can prevent it from turning into cancer later stage. And also for parents, it's, I guess the key thing to take home is to make sure that if you've got kids, that they have their HPV vaccination at school, and all three vaccinations.
Yeah, and you know what? It's looking after yourself. As women, it's not shame. It's not... No. Yeah, it's just something that we have to do as women to make sure that we're there to look after the rest of the family, like, you know, we always do. Exactly. So it's not shame, it's looking after yourself.
Wow, I hear that every day just about on Noongar Radio. So if you can remember that little voice that's speaking here, that is Leanne Pilkington, and Leanne features on some of our community service announcements about being breast aware.
Little voice?
Yeah, because
my family won't agree
with
that.
Little voice, big voice, I know. But yeah, Leanne comes to us today on the program from Breast Green WA. She's the Aboriginal program officer, always doing a great job there. Especially with the picnic in the park.
That's October 25th, Kings Park.
Okay, but you should come in before that and get on one of our programs and have a yarn. And Stacey May came to us from the WA Cervical Cancer Prevention Program and is the Senior Program Officer. Thank you very much, ladies. We're going to go to some music. We're going to come back and we'll be having some more special guests, in particular Violet Platt, who's from the WA Cancer and Palliative Care Network. She's the Director of Nursing. Louise de Birch joins us as well from the Cancer Council of WA and is the Aboriginal Projects Officer there. And we've also got a cancer survivor that we will be hooking up with over the phone, and that will be Natasha Kickett. Music now, Archie Roach, Life is Worth Living. Thank you, ladies. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you.
All the pearly life is a precious thing to each and every one of us. All it can bring laughter and happiness. Sad time will come along too, but the good times are worth it if we can just see the hard times through. And life is worth living if we just make it worth. Trust us completely. Yeah. They hope that we share. Care for them, cause they smile so sweetly. We got to pick them up and never do them any wrong. No, no. We got to pick our children up. Teach them to be strong. And life is worth living if we just make it worthwhile. Oh, 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 yeah. And people got problems. Yeah, my people do. Children got trouble, and my sisters too. Poor and a homeless, can't keep warm in this cold weather. Can just make
another Georgia, another police, all the children, all the children.
Going on air, here we go. Life is worth living. Archie Roach there, and we're live on Health Matters here at Noongar Radio. Don't forget the program comes to you every fortnight, 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, then repeated after Inside Out, Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. Joining me now, I have Violet Platt from the WA Cancer and Palliative Care Network and is the Director of Nursing. Hello, Violet.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And also Louise. Louise, I always get your surname mucked up. I'm so sorry, but Louise is from Council of WA and the Aboriginal Projects Officer. Is it Debush?
It's Debush, yeah.
Oh, yay! I might win Lotto. Lotto. Oh, that's fantastic.
You did good.
Thank you so much. Now, we're going to talk, Louise, you're going to talk about a video that's been done, so I thought it'd be good to do that right now.
Yeah. So
I heard it's deadly.
Oh.
It's I haven't seen the video yet. Actually, perhaps we could, before we play it, we could tell people where they can see the video and how it came about as well.
Yep. So Cancer Council WA has been involved in a partnership with Menzies School of Health, and they're based in Darwin predominantly, but also in Brisbane. So there's this lot of work going on around the national bowel screening program, and how we can do it better and how we can raise the awareness for of how bowel screening is important for our mob. And as a part of this process, the group sort of started to think about a music video that might be, you know, really catchy, a way to get those key messages out and raise the awareness in the Aboriginal community. So Indigenous Hip Hop was selected to do this video, and me being very sceptical, I thought, the target group is 50 years and between 50 years and 74, so it's like, you know, how is this going to work? But I tell you what, all raps to Indigenous Hip Hop for really pulling this video off. And the key messages are around, you know, that 3 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people die each week of from bowel cancer. And, you know, I guess when we're listening to the music video, it's really, we're asking the community, the listeners today, to listen for the key messages, to make sure that your bowel is sound. You'll really hear it very clearly. You might think it's shame, but it's a part of life. Mm. A simple test could make everything all right, you know. So this gets back to the screening. We had Leanne on here before and Stacey talking about breast and cervical cancer. So the screening's really important, and our old people are our strength and our knowledge, you know. So the other thing too that we're hearing is that our old people always look after everyone else, hey?
And that's our
elders, our parents, they're all busy so all the time looking after everybody else, and this is an opportunity for them to take the screening test when it's being offered, and so that they can be here for their family. And there's no shame if there's if anything's detected. There are ways that, you know, with medical support, medical advice, these things can be worked through. So these are the things that we're asking listeners to the music video is just fantastic.
Oh, it's, I'm going to go and have a look, and I didn't have time, but we're definitely going to play this right now.
Dr. L. It can be found prematurely. Tell the kids, don't be ashamed. The connection to family will stay the same. Too many elders die from bowel cancer, taking all the knowledge, stories, dances. All us mob want to keep you around. Do the test, make sure your bowel is sound.
1 minute you're good, dancing chain. Suddenly you start to feel strange.
It's a simple test and it's free. Second year if you're over 50.
This one test can make you shame. There's nothing to lose or to gain.
You gotta be strong, don't be too bad. You can live longer, do it now.
Making your life good, take them by test. Take them by the whole lot and do the test. Don't be afraid now, no more shame. If you don't do checkup, we get pain.
You might be ashamed, but it's a part of life.
About the guna, he felt the same in the shoulda, coulda, woulda. The pain came the day we said goodbye. We lost our dad, our pop, our pride.
So many memories can't measure the cost. Knowledge, culture, and stories lost. Little did we know, life would change. Could have been prevented at an early stage.
If only I listened to our wish. Tea and blade and a test in the fridge. You worry about us, but we're worried for you. Could have seen your granny's grave too.
Making your life good, take them by test. Take them by the whole lot and do the test. Don't be afraid now, no more shame. If you don't do checkup, we get pain.
You might think it's shame, but it's a part of life.
Is a silent killer. Three Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people die every week from bowel cancer. Our old people are our strength and knowledge, hold our stories and culture. We want our elders to be around for our kids and our children's kids. If you're 50 or over, please get a bowel screening test. Always looking after everyone else. Now it's time to look after you.
It's shame, but it's a part of life. Simple test to make you right.
Oh, Louise, that's so powerful.
Deadly,
oh, that's just the audio there,
yeah.
I know, but seeing the movie as well.
Yeah.
I had a big laugh there too when I said guna. And
yes.
I think that really works if you're just straight out, you know, the language that is commonly used and instead of making it all sterile and that, you know. I absolutely loved it and it was good. I like the last bit too. It's a really important message is what you need to do in the statistics as well. And, bowel cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
I wasn't really aware that it was a huge problem.
I mean, bowel
cancer. With our mob.
Yeah.
That to me might be that we're keeping it to ourselves a bit too much, perhaps.
Yeah. And I think a lot of our community don't know that, bowel cancer is the third most common cancer diagnosed in Aboriginal Western Australians.
Mm.
So it's really important that we get that message out today as well, that there's no shame in taking that test. And the music video, it's actually a music video and it is available on YouTube. So people can search for the music video, and it's called Bowel Cancer Screening Music Video, Take the Test. And it also will be available on podcast through Department of Health after the show. So
we'll have to put it on our social media as well.
Awesome. Yeah, oh, awesome. And look, we need help. Help share the video as much as possible. Share the podcast as much as possible. And but yeah, it's a deadly tune, eh?
Violet, I know you've been quiet there, but not by choice. Can you tell me a little bit about your team's role at the Department of Health?
Okay, so we've got a statewide team that provides services for people diagnosed with cancer. Basically, everything that you need from Woe to Go in the hope of getting people to the right place at the right time for the right treatment. So, range of resources, cancer nurse coordinators, help and support if people need to come from country and stay in town for a period of time to get through treatment, help to understand what the medical speakers and what people are saying to you in clinics and team meetings and things like that. We also have the manage the bowel screening program, so if someone does take the test and get some results back, that we can help with the next steps on that journey, which is really important because we know that if we can catch that early, we can get rid of it. So it's important to, once you get the results of the test, if you need to do something, to do something with it. And then we also provide a lot of emotional support for people who are in shock, or their families if they do hear that they've got a cancer diagnosis. And it's a lot to get your head around at a time that we're asking you to be really busy coming to hospital so we can do things.
What kind of things are you talking about? Counselling, Violet?
Yeah, counselling. And we can do that over the telephone, with video conference. We can find people close to home. We do a lot of partnership work with cancer councils, so they've often got counselling connections in region, so it's not, everything's not about coming to Perth, it's about what we can do when you're at home so you get the support you need, and that the time that you do need to come to Perth is as short and as supported as we can make it.
What are the this goes to both ladies. What are the cancer messages that we should be taking from today, like the main cancers affecting both men and women? We're going to talk about lung, bowel cancer as well today.
I think for me the main messages are that, most importantly, if you do get a cancer diagnosis, you're not on your own. There's a lot of support out there, so reach out and let someone come on the journey with you, because it's a scary place to be. And it, you know, shared, it can be a better experience. Early detection is absolutely vital, because the sooner we can catch that cancer, the more chance we've got of curing it. And I think stopping smoking is
a big one,
a massive one, because it impacts on so many cancers as well as other health conditions. So for me, I think they're the most important things.
Violet and Louise, lung and bowel cancer, are they, either of them, hereditary at all?
Some bowel cancers have got a hereditary gene, but that's quite a small percentage. And generally, those families that do have that hereditary link are picked up and quite closely monitored by genetic programs. Mm. So in lots of ways, they're in the safer cohort, because we know they've got an increased risk and we do increased monitoring. So the vast majority aren't hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, I think it's important for our community to, you know, if there is, if your family, you know, of history there in the past, that's all the more reason then to, you know, present and, you know, make yourself aware of the screening programs that's out there. The main ones about breast, cervical and bowel is one is important, and that's why we're speaking more about it today.
And it's really important not to be scared, because sometimes you can't help it but be scared, you know.
And I guess that's one of the things amongst Aboriginal community too, is that there is a fear factor there. There's a fear of, you know,
going like somebody going. Else.
And they know of someone not coming home and, you know, being in hospital in Perth for, you know, long periods of time and those sorts of things. But, you know, those are the things that we need to, that we as a cancer council and other services that's working in this space, we really do play our part and educate community on how important it is that we need to talk about cancer.
Well, it's great to know that, you know, there is support there because not everyone's got a big family, the smaller families or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they really need that support there, so...
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah, and lung cancer is one of the main cancers for Aboriginal community, and it all is around smoking. So this is why Make Smoking History do their part in terms of educating community as well. So, and I think we do have Quitline that's available too, you know. So, you know, look at quitting the smokes is one of the main messages today as well. And it's the most, it is the main cause of lung cancer. And it's in both men and
women.
You know, so those stats are really up there.
Thank you, ladies. Violet Platt there, Director of Nursing, WA Cancer and Palliative Care Network, and also Louise DeBush, Aboriginal Project Officer, Council of WA. We're going to go to some music. Alicia Keys, A Girl on Fire, and we're going to get on the phone Natasha Kickett, who is a cervical cancer survivor. But again, Violet and Louise, thank you so much for being on Health Matters today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe. But she knows she can fly away.
sound of Alicia Keys there, Girl on Fire. And, you know, you may recall, I hope you did, that we did talk about cervical cancer earlier on in the program. It's great to have Stacey May here and also Leanne Pilkington. But we're going to be talking now to Natasha Kicker, who was a survivor of, now is it cervical or you said it different before?
Yeah,
Louise?
I did. And yeah.
Who was right, me or you? Is it cervical? Or?
Well, I think both of us are right.
Yeah? Well, that'll do. What do you reckon? Natasha, thank you so much for coming on the program. It's so good of you. It's so brave of you to share your life experience. I think they're really, really important. I think all the ladies here in the studio here think it's equally important as you would to inspire other women to, you know, get checked out. Now, I believe that you've recovered from cervical cancer. How did you find out that you had it in the first place?
Well, thanks for asking me to be a part of the show today anyway, because I like being able to get the word out to people, because a lot of times it's not something that we think is going to happen or can happen or are very aware of. I had to go to the doctors for another reason. I wasn't planning on getting a pap smear because the whole idea of going and getting it done, just I'm like, yuck, don't want to do it. But I happened to have a lady doctor on a Saturday, so I didn't have to rush back to work or anything like that. And I went to walk out of the doctor's room and then thought, oh, you know what, it's been 3 years since I had my last test. I better go and see if she can do one for me. And I asked her and she said, oh, yep, quickly. We had enough time. So the rest is kind of history from there. The test came back with some abnormalities, high-grade abnormalities, and had some follow-up tests, biopsies and that sort of stuff. And, yeah, it all sort of went from there.
Hard times when you first found out?
Yeah.
What went through your mind?
In the lead up to having my biopsy and that, I tried to, you know, remain really positive about things. I didn't say a lot of to many people. Many people didn't know what was going on. So just, yeah, trying to be really positive. Obviously, there were some people that sort of could tell something wasn't right, but it was definitely a bit of a worry. My sister's a nurse and she was like, you know, and as soon as I had these letters and stuff coming through, I'd ring her up and I'd say, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And she was like, oh, shit. Oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to swear on radio. You have to beep that out.
You're the girl on fire, remember?
so it was definitely a bit worrying. More so once the biopsies came back, and I think at that stage we knew anyway, and it was just a matter of staging and whatever. So at the moment that the doctor said to me the biopsies had come back positive for cancer, and I don't know, everything was swirling around in my head. I just had, I don't know, it was really surreal, and all I thought was, oh my gosh, I've got kids that need their mum, or that a husband that needs his wife, and I've got family that need me, you know, as a sister and a daughter and an auntie and nana and all that sort of stuff. So that was all I could think about at that point, was I've got to be okay through this because I've got people that need me, you know. So it was all very scary though, but always in the forefront of my mind. I knew I was going to be okay, because I had to be.
Oh, you're too deadly. I mean, you're a survivor, and just think, if you were that ignorant girl, you wouldn't have turned back and had that test. So good on you for having that, you know, not just for your health's sake, but also for your family's sake.
That's right.
As well. Natasha, what support was available to you during your cancer journey?
So initially, I sort of, you link in with the Cancer Council. If you know, you're told that they're there and they're there to help, and there are different sort of areas that they can support with. So obviously there's the financial support that's there. It's not a huge deal, but it, at least there's something there. That's, you know, why fundraising for the Cancer Council is so important. Obviously, the more money that they have to allocate around to their different services and programs and whatnot that they have, the more support there is for patients and people that use their services. But, you know, I use the financial support. They have financial counselling and that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So I made use of that as well when it came to what sort of whether I could access any of my super, or, you know, negotiating with the bank to hold off on loan payments, or insurance to cover income protection, you know, all of that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Mm.
I think that stuff's yuckier than having a pap smear. Yeah. Look, thank you so much for joining us today. Before you do leave us, Natasha, what important message would you like to get out there to our Yorkers that are listening now?
Just that it's so important to make sure that, you know, as mums or aunties or nanas, you know, we're the caregivers for our families. We're the ones that are the backbone for our families, and we need to make sure that we look after ourselves too, you know. Lots of times you put yourself second and things get left behind, and you got to just remember that if you don't look after yourself, you're not going to be able to look after other people. And that's a horrible feeling, you know, when you're used to being that person that looks after everybody else. When you can't do it, it drives you nuts, you know. So, and it really hurts your heart knowing that you can't be there for your family the way that you want to be, and you have to rely on other people and everything. So, and that's just me as a survivor, you know, and there's lots of people that don't survive from cancer, and, you know, their families have to go on without them. So it's definitely better to look after yourself and remain as healthy as possible, and try and prevent things from happening, and, you know, getting back on track and living your life the way that you need to be.
Natasha, great to have you on Health Matters, and great to have you living and surviving.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, big girl. It's good to be here.
You're the girl on fire. Thanks, Natasha.
Thank you. See ya.
Natasha Kickett there, yeah, a cancer survivor, and wow, so powerful. Now, Viola, I want to go back to you. Like, have we covered all the supports that are out there available?
I think the only thing that I'd like to emphasise is that, you know, being diagnosed with cancer is a really scary time, and your head's all over the place. There's so much to think about, but you're not on your own. We've got some fantastic resources right across the state. There'll be a cancer nurse coordinator in your region, and we've got a whole team of them in Perth. And Cancer Council Information Line is a great first point to touch base with. So I think the main thing is, it is scary, but you're not on your own, and we can get through it with you.
And I just want to throw out some website addresses as well. There's www.cancerwa.asn.au. You can get further info there for the Cancer Council, and also head to www.healthywa.wa.gov.au. And Louise, what are some key messages you want to get out? We've only got about a minute or two, so talk fast, my sister.
Really, the reason, good timing that this show's come on today, because Daffodil Day is coming up on Friday, 26th of August, and, you know, daffodil was chosen because it's a symbol of hope, and that's really what this show is all about today. Even though it might be scary and the shame factor around cancer, but it doesn't have to be. So, and we're hoping that everyone that's listening today has got the information that they need.
Thanks, Louise, for being on the program. Violet, you as well as Stacey May, and also Leanne. And topic today was cancer, and you're right on. Get to it early and don't be ashamed.
Yep.
And don't forget, Health Matters comes to you every fortnight at 11 o'clock with me, Big Girl.